I call the meeting of the Housing Finance Policy Committee to order. First order of business we have is approval of the minutes. We have several sets in front of us. The first set we have is for March 11th. Would somebody be willing to move that set of minutes?
I'll move the minutes.
Representative Green has moved approval of the March 11th minutes. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Next we have the minutes from March 13th. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved.
It's been moved. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approving the minutes as presented in our packet, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion approved. Next set of minutes we have is from March 20th. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
It's been moved by Representative Bly. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion approving the March 20th minutes is approved. Next item on the agenda is we have before us a informational hearing on House File 1344. I will turn it over to Representative Clark to start her introduction and explanation of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. And this is just an informational hearing today. We're not taking any motions or public testimony. We'll be having that on Friday. And just for information, we have rescheduled our Friday meeting to 10 a.m. to accommodate some people's schedules, especially our staff, we didn't realize when we were doing it later in the day that they have to be in another committee. So,
thank you.
I'm going to do that. You are welcome. Members are welcome too. I know. Better not to have an earlier. It's better to have an earlier meeting. So, members, let me just tell you, since the last time we were together and we all talked about the target we had for this committee, things have changed. And so the budget you're going to see before you will reflect that. We're going to go through it, and I'm going to ask Mr. Soderberg to join me at the table here to talk about the numbers. But what you should know is, the good news is we started out with a $76.9 million budget in Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, and with our target, we are now at $98 million. The difference is we have base funding. So this is really historic in a sense because the base funding for Minnesota Housing Finance Agency and for housing programs in general have been mostly slashed or one time for more than a decade. So it's really helpful to be able to have that going forward. That positive being said, the other change that you'll notice when we go through the numbers is that we were informed about last week that we have to pick up the housing funds that are in the Minnesota in the Department of Human Services. And so we have started a placeholder in this bill for this, and we'll be doing some work on it in the next few days. I'm very interested in meeting with both the Republican members of this committee and Democratic members of this committee to get your input on it. We've been talking a lot with the advocates about what they think we should be doing with that. It's a challenge to have to fund not only the programs that were in our budget and that we've been working on, but then to also try to pick up what we think we can in the Department of Human Services. And I don't think this is the last word. We have a whole another month to go, and we've got conference committees before us and everything. But at least as a committee, we want to, on Friday, we'll be coming forward with a recommendation. And I do want all of your input. And so I've asked to Martha Martinez to please try to put together a meeting with Republicans and with Democratic members of this committee. So please cooperate with her and let's try to get that done. So let's take you through what we have here today. There are some, as I say, some very good news. And Mr. Soderberg, you want to help me walk through the dollars? You should all have the bill before you. We can talk about maybe the changes on the spreadsheet first, and then we'll come back and go through the language of the bill.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clark, members, I'll just be very brief walking you through the spreadsheet. I'll just give you a description of the layout, and it's pretty straightforward. If you look, you'll see the house columns are for this biennium and the out biennium, and then the governor's recommendations are shown in the next two columns for both this biennium and the out biennium. And then there's a comparison between the House and the governor. for both bieniums on the two right-hand columns. For members' information, if you look at the Economic Development and Housing Challenge Program, and you'll see that number, that is the current funding for that program. So what you have is the base funding, and then the increase that is incorporated into the delete all, and then you have the reflects the new funding at the bottom of for each of the programs, and this is consistent throughout. For example, you'll see in the Economic Development Housing Challenge Program that there is a difference in that the House version would have all of the money going into the existing program, but the existing where the governor had proposed a one-time funding for the Housing and Growth Initiative. And you can see that overall the difference is $478,000 between the two bills for that program. It's just that how you get to that 478 varies significantly. And this, I'm not going to go through everyone. It's pretty obvious how it's done. So unless you have some questions or you want to listen to me, I will defer to you. So with that, if anybody has any questions, I'd be glad to walk you through it. Oh, I should mention one thing. Just as a point of clarification, if you go to page 2 and you look at the top on line 26, what this is the Affordable Rental Investment Fund, or the PARA Fund. The governor recommended, and the House is very close to his recommendation, that be reallocated, some of those funds be reallocated. You may remember that they were going to backfill some of this with some federal funds. It gave them a little bit, it made it a lot easier to administer. And so you'll see when you go down to the two just below that those numbers, that's how that reallocation flows into those programs. The Housing Rehabilitation Program for the rental housing portion is receiving $363,000. So that's not new. That's new money to that program, but it's not new money to the agency. With that, I think.
Thank you. Okay.
I don't see any questions.
Thank you.
Clark, if you want to go ahead.
Let's just start looking through the bill here. And you'll notice the first appropriation there deals with, well, first we have the total increase, and then we talk about the challenge program. And members, let me just tell you, what we did here was we added some language that you'll notice on line 2.5, 2.6, that we want to make sure that priority is given to funding programs that are aimed at closing the disparity gap in affordable home ownership and rental housing for communities of color. It's been a long-term problem in our state. Minnesota's got some of the most segregated housing in the country. So we're just asking the department is already trying to do some of this. We just put it into the statute. And then we have three additional priorities that we added here on lines 2.17 to 2.24. And I want to just also explain something else to you. I'm going to be have an amendment. We can pass it out to you. We do restore the other language in the challenge fund that talks about workforce housing. I didn't mean for that to come out of there, but that will go back in there, and I can pass that amendment out if you want at the end of the meeting. We're not doing any amendments or anything today, but make sure that you know that. But the three additional priorities, based on testimony that we've had and lots of community discussion, we're adding the priorities that there will be a focus on creating safe and stable housing for homeless youth. That's on line 2.18. On 2.20, it's providing housing and services to trafficked women and children. And 2.22, priority for those programs that are land trust programs are coordinated with land trust programs. So those are some changes, some language changes that I want you to be aware of. Going on to the Housing Trust Fund, again, we make sure we say again there the point about aiming at closing the disparity gap for communities of color and culturally specific groups. Going down to rental assistance for the mentally ill, that is basically staying the same. Family Homeless Prevention Act, similar again with the changes in funding that Mr. Soderberg went through. Home Ownership Assistance Fund, again, you'll see that recurring language about making sure we're addressing the disparity gap. And Affordable Rental Investment, it's basically the same with additional funding. Housing Rehabilitation is the same with additional funding. Homeownership Education, Housing and Training is the same with additional funding. Fast and Building Grants are the same with additional funding. And then we add the grants that we had heard in the committees, the grants for Open Access Connection, that's $70,000 a year for those, to assist those folks with no ability to be able to receive information about housing and so on, housing and basically connection to jobs too, to this proposal. The Tenants' Rights Advocacy Line, that's in there for to the home program for $200,000 each year. The East African Women's Group that's going to develop the first shelter for East African Women's Organization, $175,000. And then the transfers that I mentioned early when we started here that we're being asked as a committee to do. Again, the language here for each of the four programs, the long-term homeless, the supportive services under that, the homeless youth, and do I see you? There. Looks like long-term homeless is repeated twice. Emergency service grants. I think we might have a slight error there. Am I right about that?
Yep.
Ms. Mullen.
Chair.
Go ahead.
Okay, Representative Clark. The two homeless supportive services appear to be funded under different statutes and providing different services. The first one is under Minnesota Statute 256K.26,
okay.
And the second one is
yep.
under... Okay,
thank you. One is long-term homelessness, the other is emergency service and homeless youth. Okay. All right. So, committee members, it's a short bill, and I guess we're glad to hear any discussion from you on this, and we really do need to go back with that, with the amount of dollars we have, and figure out some potential reallocations, unless we get more money to our base, into our target, which we'd be very happy to accept, and you're all happy to help us work for.
I believe we have a question from Representative Moran.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. So it's good to see that in the bill you have priorities around creating safe and stable housing for homeless youth and that piece here. And so I'm trying to find it here on the spreadsheets, the investment in homeless youth. What would be that dollar amount?
Mr. Chair, Representative Moran, as I mentioned earlier, this is a placeholder, and it's right now we have $250,000 for each of those four categories that we brought into this bill. Again, as I mentioned earlier, this is not our final determination, but we need to take some time. We just got information yesterday on some of this clarification yesterday afternoon, so we don't have the dollar amount, and I'm interested in your thoughts about it.
So we will be, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Representative Clark. So we will be looking at other ways to maybe invest more dollars, if possible, if we can work out maybe moving some dollars around in partnership with others, maybe?
Mr. Clark. Chair and Representative Moran, a couple of things. We will be taking some money from the other pots of the other allocations here. We'll have to do that.
Yeah.
Unless we get additional funding. The other thing I'd like to say to members is there's, you know, there are housing funds in other bills that are here. One of them is the capital investment bill, the bonding bill. And one of the things I've talked with the chair of that committee about is we want to make sure that some of the construction dollars that can go for homeless youth or some of the other areas can be addressed in the bonding bill. And I think it will be to some degree. But you, if you recall, the request for the homeless youth bill, which again was not in our committee, it didn't land in this committee, it landed in the Department of Human Services. It was for $13 million. It's a hefty amount. It's an important amount. They were speaking to the need and what they wanted to do, but there's no dollars in here like that for that amount of money. We're going to have to figure out what we can shift around, and whether or not we can bring more dollars to the bottom line for this committee, which is the message I sent out with all the advocates and with our legislators here, if you can help us. Since we now have that added responsibility from another committee, if we can bring more dollars into this committee, that would be great.
Did you have a follow-up, Representative Moran?
No, thank you.
Representative Fisher, you had a question?
Yes, a little bit coming back to what we were just talking about on the housing and services for homeless youth. I know that most of the ask, or almost all the ask that they had in the Homeless for All was for program services, and if I remember right, there wasn't anything for capital improvement. So I know that the governor had, the ask was for $8 million. I know that the governor was recommending $5
million. It was $8 million, excuse me.
Right. $8 million was originally asked. $5 million is what the governor was recommending. And I see that, and I know it's just a placeholder, $250,000, but I really feel strongly that we should be at least, trying to hit where the governor was recommending on his proposal. And I know that we're going to have to look at trying to move things around back and forth. And I guess that's, if we're not able to find more monies, I'd be looking at wanting to do some of that hard work to try to figure it out, to try to address some of these other needs out there.
Okay. Did you have a response, Rosen Clark?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it was $8 million. Excuse me. I was thinking of the request for trafficked women and children is $13 million. So that you're right. I stand corrected. I guess the only other thing is help us figure out which programs we take it out of.
Oh, and that's that, and that's where I say that's the mm-hmm. hard work. And I'm going to, mm-hmm. I'll be taking this and looking over the numbers over the next couple of days to figure it out.
I mean, I really want to encourage you, if we can find more ways mm-hmm. to bring money into this mm-hmm. budget, I'm happy to do that.
Okay. Representative O'Neill, you have a question?
Thank you, Chair. Kind of just back to the challenge program,
yes.
Chair. So you had mistakenly taken out the workforce center language.
I do have an amendment that we can share. We're not putting it on, but if you want to look at it, it just puts the language back in for those other priorities.
Sure. And the governor had appropriated or was asking for $10 million for the challenge grant, and primarily, at least through the testimony we heard, it was for greater Minnesota up in Roseau County and some of those like to help DigiKey and their growth over there by Thief River Falls and places like that. And that kind of got me to thinking about this bill as a whole, because I also represent an area outside of the metro area, and we don't have any homeless youth or homeless anything kind of support services out there, as I've been finding out through this committee. Well, actually, I knew about it from my work in the community, but do you have a sense as to the appropriations of dollars for greater Minnesota versus metro? Because as I'm looking even at the challenge program itself, initially it was supposed to be something that the governor had wanted for greater Minnesota and wanted to help some of the industry and DigiKey and and so on up by Marvin Windows and Polaris and things like that. And now I see that's sort of been replaced by all of the wonderful things that we did see inside the metro. But I'm just curious as to is there mm-hmm. any sense as to the monies appropriated or could be available to greater Minnesota through this bill?
Why don't we pass out that amendment that we've got so people can look at it? We're not putting it on. I didn't want to get people confused. We're not putting any amendments on right now, but it does just restore that language. And I guess the answer to your question is one of the differences, we're putting that $10 million into the base, so we're going ongoing funding. We're not just doing, his funding was for one time. Okay, so what we're doing is we're putting that money into the base, and that's very significant to that program. We can ongoing. And the other thing is to say that with those priorities that were established, I think there ought to be funding both in greater Minnesota and in especially in areas where there are certain, thank you, there's certainly some of the disparities that we talk about in the challenge grant in greater Minnesota as well as right in our
Representative
city.
Clark.
So I can't give you an exact percentage. What?
We may have someone from housing who has something to add to what you're... Did you have something you wanted to add?
Okay, this will be our only exception to testimony okay. from our agency. We're not really taking public testimony today.
Mr. Chair, I don't have anything specific to add. I was just happy to answer any questions about the governor's initiative if there were specific questions related to that. But if your question was answered, Representative O'Neill, then.
Chair. I think the question was more to sort of prompted me as I'm reading through some of the specific language for the challenge grant, and it's kind of morphed into something completely different than what it started out as, which happens, you know, in our work here. But it made me start to think about, you know, the challenge grant was supposed to be something to really help Greater Minnesota and help DigiKey and Polaris and Marvin Windows and really help them to grow and expand, and now it's become something totally different. It's become a different animal, and so I'm just... it made me think about, well, what exactly is available to Greater Minnesota? Like I was saying, in my own community, we don't have any homeless services whatsoever in all of Wright County. There just is nothing. And there's very little public housing in Wright County, as I, you know, as I'm learning these things through here. So that's where I represent. And so that's my question is, through this $98 million, what's truly available for Greater Minnesota? And the question was prompted because the challenge grant is... Well, it's not a grant anymore. Now it's a program, so it's completely different, and the focus is completely different.
Representative Clark, do you, now that we all have the amendment, do you want to explain that?
Well, no, the challenge grant, the challenge program continues, that, and it has been in existence for a long time. The language that the governor was putting in was for one time, and so we're not wiping out the existing part of the challenge grant fund. We're putting additional dollars that have to do, that go into the base. And I don't know. Go ahead and we'll let Ms. Topeka. Say what you want to say.
Thank you. I'm Mr. Chair and Representative O'Neill.
Excuse me, could you state your name?
Yes, for the Katie record? Topinka with the Housing Finance Agency. As Representative Clark mentioned, the governor's request is for $10 million in one-time funding that would be for areas where there have been job expansion and not enough housing to meet the needs. And as you've heard in prior testimony, that is primarily in areas in Greater Minnesota that we've heard about. And I guess I would just add... in general, and we've given the agency has provided testimony in previous hearings about the distribution of resources across the state, and I'd certainly be happy to provide you with that updated information. This is, you know, it's probably unrelated to this bill, but we'd certainly be happy to get that information to you.
Representative Clark?
Mr. Chair, I guess the only thing I'd say is that I think the agency has a pretty good reputation for serving the whole state, and I think if that needs to be laid out again, that's probably something you can do. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing here with the additional money is to ensure that we have the priorities that we think are important. It includes the existing priorities, but it also adds three focuses that I think hopefully this committee all agrees with, looking at homeless youth, trafficked women and children, and the opportunity to use the land trust as a very efficient way to do additional affordable housing.
Representative O'Neill, does that answer your question?
I don't know if you... Do you feel like you got your good question answered? Do you want to go through the... I mean, I think one thing you probably need is a reiteration from the MHFA on how they serve all of the state, including Greater Minnesota. Would that be helpful?
Yeah, I think that would be helpful. And just, you know, just to give us some comfort that... Just as I'm reading through some of the specifics of the bill, it was, you know, so many of the places that we toured right here in the metro, which were great places, and they were serving, you know, the needs of Minneapolis and St. Paul well. But many of us in this room represent Greater Minnesota, and so it would just be nice to hear, you know, this is quite a bit more than the base, so it'd be nice to hear kind of the distribution thought process, or, you know, if there's, you know, like transportation is very specific as to what Greater Minnesota gets, not that we have to get that specific, but... You know, something along those lines that, you know, Representative Greens and mine and Representative Zerwas and all, you know, all Metza and, you know, several of us that represent Greater Minnesota would probably like to hear where those dollars would be going.
Sure. And Mr. Chairman, Representative O'Neill, it wouldn't make, nothing would make me happier than to have your homeless people be able to stay in their community and be served there. And so all of the, you know, all of the impetus for these programs, which we have, you know, quite a group of advocates that have been working on, they're from the whole state of Minnesota. And so I don't think there's any effort, believe me, to increase the concentration of the services for people who are homeless or who have, you know, their rental property or their homes break down and need rehab. There's no desire at all to try to pull that into any one area. We expect MHFA to do the great job. They continue to do the great job they've been doing of serving the whole state. But I think, you know, it might be helpful just to have that clarified again. Because I agree with you, it's a whole state problem.
Okay.
And opportunity, too. Some opportunities.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Madam Chair, Just to get some numbers straight here, it looks like on the back page of the spreadsheet, your target is 98 million and some change. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So how does that compare to last biennium and the current governor's recommendation for this budget?
Well, the governor recommended 13 million additional. We put in 22 because that's what we got as a target.
Okay.
And you can see in the previous biennium we had 76.9, I think it was. So we that you add 22 to that, and that gives us 98.
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Following up on Representative O'Neill's questions and comments on the challenge program, we see mentioned in there three priorities, safe and stable housing for youth, trafficked women, and land trust programs. Are those additional programs being pushed harder this time around, or have they always been part of the program? And if they have been, will they have any additional emphasis under this budget?
Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Anderson. That's a good question. They are added emphasis. If you look at what the emphasis was before, it really do. We did talk about in the amendment before you again that we're not adding today, but that will be put back in there. Does deal with the whole issue of the workforce. Housing, and which we are very sensitive to, and that's all over the state. Those are those issues. But we also know all over the state there are homeless youth, and we also know all over the state there are trafficked girls and women, and we also know that throughout the state, the land trust opportunity is working. And so, you know, in paying attention to the testimony that we had in this committee from various bills, we want to make sure that we provide some additional emphasis. And the challenge fund is the most flexible. They are already serving some of those individuals, I can tell you, but we want to make sure that it kind of rises to the top as some more opportunities.
Any other questions? Do you have any closing remarks?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess, again, members, I'm really serious about getting your input. I really hope, Representative Anderson, you can help us bring together your caucus to meet. Ms. Martinez will put that together today. Same thing with our caucus members. We're all struggling, I think, a bit with the new responsibility that we got given. And I really want your input on it, because I want this to be as much as a bipartisan bill as possible. And I'm hopeful that you've all been, you know, the committee's worked hard on a lot of issues. So I thank you, and I guess I have nothing more to say, just that we want to meet with you soon. Thank you, committee members, Mr. Chair.
All right. So without any other business, I guess
Let's just remind people of when they need to get amendments to the committee, and maybe Mr. Amar could go over that with us. I want to make sure it's clear when our next hearing is and when the deadlines are, so we can enforce the 24-hour rule as...
Thank you, Representative Clark. Go ahead.
Because we're going to be meeting at 10 a.m. on Friday, I'm trying to give fiscal staff and House Research some time to formulate some of the amendments as I think they'll be coming. So if you could get, at least in concept, amendment ideas to me tomorrow by noon, that would be great. That would give enough leg time for House Research to kind of formulate it and get things together. And then by the end of the day tomorrow... as best as possible, get me something in language that would be good.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again, committee members.
Okay. Without any further business, the meeting is adjourned.